This time, we'll have our ushers to come forth, and we'll go ahead and receive our morning tithes and offerings. Lord, our most kind and loving Father, we thank you, Father, for this another day. Father, for the many blessings in life. Father, we just pray now that this offering could go for your honor and your glory. Father, just be with each one. Father, just bless them. Be with the sick, Father, and just be with Brother Sam as he brings us a word this morning. And Father, I just pray for the lost. Father, I just pray some way, somehow they'll be saved, Father, before it's too late. Just help us all, Father, to try to be disciples for you, Father. In your sweet holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. 427, my anchor holds.
Peaceful, for I know.
great God we serve.
Yes.
Amen. This time, I'll go ahead and turn the service over to Brother Sam Ferguson. About everybody here knows him. If they don't, they will after the service.
Okay. Hey, it's great to be with you this morning. I am just so thrilled that I could come and be a part of the service this morning. Carolyn, she got up at 2:30, and I didn't even realize it. Got up at 2:30 and was on the couch. She was coughing. I think she got up and maybe got on the couch. She may have went running around Saturday evening. But anyway, this morning when I got up, she was on the couch, and so I went on down. I go downstairs to my study and have my devotions, and I had just about finished up with my devotions, and I got a phone call, and it was Tim, and he asked me if I would come and preach, and I said, I'd be thrilled to. I said, I'm not in the best of shape, but I'd be thrilled to come. Carolyn and I, about a week and a half ago, we talked. I said, I'd love to go to Marbleton, just see how everybody's doing, and I'll tell you, I keep you all in my prayers. I pray for you. I pray for your children. I think of Bruce Randolph. I pray for him. And Herman Redford. I saw him on his porch this morning looking up in the sky. And I come to her stopping and saying, hey, we're supposed to be in church. And I believe his sons, Joe and Donna, his daughter, I believe that's their name. That's what I call them when I pray for them. I still remember them. And Carolyn and I love you all so much. Well, I just couldn't express it with words, and it's just a thrill to be here. You know, about 3 weeks ago, I started getting this sinus infection, and Mark Street had called me and asked me to fill in for him at Milligan Free Will Baptist Church. He was going down to his brother-in-law's, right, be down there this Sunday, and he asked me if I'd preach, and I said, I'd be glad to. And I knew I was getting sinus infection, so I took off the doctor. They gave me didn't give me an antibiotic. They gave me a steroid, a week's supply of steroid. I took that, and it didn't help me. So I went back, and I told them, I said, I'm still not doing any better. And they gave me an antibiotic, and I just finished it up. Well, I was trying my best to get better so I could be at Mark's church. And he called me on Tuesday and said, everybody has the flu down at my brother-in-law, so we're not going, Sam. I won't need you. Maybe I'll have you some other time. And I went, well, okay, I understand that. And I was just thinking this Sunday morning as I was praying, you know, going to the Christian church. And then I got that phone call, and I said, wow. You know, the Lord, I couldn't understand why I wasn't preaching this Sunday morning at Milligan. I'd done everything to get over the sinus infection, and the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. He was giving a call so I could come here. And I thank the Lord for that. It's just such a wonderful privilege to be with you. I, again, love you all, and think about you often, and you're always in my prayers, every one of you, and a lot of you that's not here. I keep everybody in my prayers that I can think of, and just love you that much. So it's great to be with you, and I'll just quit now and get into the message. That last song, just a great job. Janice is always doing a great job on the piano, but that last song, that just got me ready to preach. And I know my little sermonettes are not that much, but I'm thrilled to share God's word with you. So this morning I'd like to share with you from Isaiah 57, and I'll be reading verses 14 through 15. Isaiah 57, verses 14 and 15. And once you found that, I'm going to ask you to stand if you would, as we give honor to God's word and reading it. Great to see Brother Harold this morning. I think about him often, and being in the choir is just great to see him and Ruth. And again, I could call every name. It's just great to see you this morning. But Isaiah 57, verse 14, God's word says, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of the people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So that's the reading of God's word. And one more time, let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Father, first and foremost, we remember the name that Valerie gave us this morning, Nancy Kestrup, the brain tumor. We pray for her, Father. I don't know how Valerie came about that name. We don't know her, don't even know where she lives, but Father, we know you're able. We know, God, that you can do it, and we pray that you'd touch her this morning. I'm so thankful that people have confidence in this church that they would turn in prayer requests like that. Pray for Brother Tim and Rhonda, God, that you'll bless them and that he could recover soon and be back with his congregation. We pray that you bless his ministry here and bless his people. And Father, all the requests that's been made known to you, we pray from the pray for all of them this morning. And again, we're just so thankful for your people. It's just a thrill to see them this morning. Our hearts are glad to be a part of this service. We thank you so much. And I pray, Father, now as our hearts turn to your word, you'd speak to our hearts through thy word this morning, for we pray in thy name. Amen. And with that, you can be seated. Verse 15, there's a phrase there. It says, "For thus saith a high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." Just saying how great thou art. That word eternity only appears one time in all of God's inerrant word. The Holy Scriptures only has it one time, Isaiah 57, verse 15, as it describes where God lives or God inhabits, God occupies eternity. Yet how carelessly we use that word. You know, that word is utterly incomprehensible. The finite mind cannot grasp eternity. But yet we're intimately connected to it. It's just amazing how connected we are to that word. So as we're connected, we ought to think about it. What do we know? Well, you know, as I was studying for the message, I know very little about eternity. We know the definition is eternity is duration without limits. That doesn't mean a whole lot. We know it doesn't have a beginning or it doesn't have an ending. Again, that's beyond what we can comprehend. But it only applies to God and God only. Now, we and angels have kind of a perspective eternity, but we had a beginning. We had a start. God created us. God created the angels, and God created us. So we're not eternal like God is. God had no beginning. Again, we can't comprehend that. We accept it by faith. He has no beginning. And again, how wonderful that is to know that our God has no beginning, no end. Again, beyond our comprehension this morning. Eternity this morning is more than if a sailor sailed out into the ocean, got out to where he couldn't see any land around him anywhere. Eternity's more than that. Eternity's more than the grains of sand on the beach. Probably all of us have been on the beach, stuck our toes in the sand, and just looked at the little grains of sand and go, wow, wonder how many grains of sand are in just that little pile. But think of the grains of sand on all seashores. Think of all the grains of sand in all the deserts around the world. Eternity is more than that. If you were to take all the oceans, all the seas, all the fresh water, and start counting all that volume by drops, eternity is more than that. Eternity this morning includes duration beyond all that numbers can describe or ideas can conceive. Again, we can't get a hold of what eternity is. But we need to consider some things that are connected to eternity. First of all, the existence of man. Our soul shall never die. The deceased body one day will be raised and it'll be raised forever. God's word says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Again, we will live for eternity, or we are eternal beings. Now, there's a lot of blessings there to think about this morning. I wanted to share some with you. First of all, maybe you all don't have mood swings. I don't know if you do or not. I do. Sometimes I'm up on the mountaintops. I feel like that God is walking right beside me. I'm just right there in his presence. But that's not every day. Sometimes I get in the morning and I don't feel good. And I feel like I'm in a valley. Sometimes those valleys get pretty dark and they get pretty long. And sometimes you wonder if God's even hearing my prayer. Sometimes, and I'll confess to you, even preachers feel this way, or this preacher does, you kind of wonder, Well, did God really call me in the ministry? Does God still really know that I'm down here? I don't know if you have those mood swings or not, but sometimes I feel that way. Fortunately, not very often, but I know other people do also. Well, listen what God's word says in Hebrews 4:9. He says, "For being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Eternal salvation. Amen. You know, when I was pastoring Little Doe Free Will Baptist Church, there was a lady there. Her name was Mildred. And Mildred was the best Christian you could just imagine. She was the kindest lady that I just had ever run into. And she loved to help people. She had never been married. She lived with her mother. Her mother died, and she was getting older. And she would do anything you ask her to in the church. She loved the church so much, was there every time the door was open, a part of every function, did everything she could in the church. And she would want to help people, and she would help people. Sometimes, a couple of times, she got herself in financial trouble trying to help other people, and the church had to kind of help her out with finances. But her heart was so kind, and she was just the best Christian you could imagine. Sometimes when I would preach a message, she would come to the altar, and she would be there, and I would get down, and I'd say, "Mildred, what do you want to pray about?" And she'd say, "Preacher, I just don't know." She says, "Sometimes I want to make sure that my relationship's right with the Lord." And I would try to reassure her. I'd say, "Mildred, listen, as pastor, I kind of have a feel for the congregation, the people in the congregation. There's some I'm a little bit concerned about." But I said, "I'm not concerned about you. You're God's lamb. God loves you. He's not going to let you get away. He's not going to let you stray away without pulling you back. And as much as you love him and as much as you're trying, it's evident that God loves you so much. You have the Holy Spirit all about you." And it would reassure, and she'd be all right for a while. Now, I think everybody has those feelings sometimes. And it's probably good we do to check up on ourselves. Some years later, I did Mildred's funeral. And she passed away. You know, Mildred never has those damn feelings anymore. She never has those mood swings. She never has to wonder, am I saved? Am I doing everything right? She's walking with Jesus Christ this morning in heaven. Her eyes are beholding him. She doesn't ever get concerned about whether I'm saved or not, whether I'm getting away. She's walking with the Lord. God's word says we have eternal salvation. Hebrews 9:12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So we're going to have a walk with the Lord. We're never going to have a mood swing again. We're going to always be on the mountaintops. If we ever have any doubt, we just look over there and there he is. We're in his presence. How wonderful heaven's going to be. Simply because God inhabits eternity. How wonderful this morning. Not only that, but we have an eternal inheritance. And that is something to think about, an eternal inheritance. I've never received an inheritance. And I've never had a big lump given to me. But I was reading on Fox News about a young girl, and I don't know how old she was, it didn't say, but her grandfather passed away. And he left her $61,000. $61,000. He wanted to give her or help her have a good start in life. Her father immediately came to her and he said, "Listen," he said, "you need to take that money and put it in a CD or invest it so later on in life you'll have that money and it'll really help you get started." She said, "I'm going to, Dad." She said, "I want to first take a few thousand out and buy some things I wanted." She said, "I'm excited. I can go out and get some things I've been wanting." And so she did. She took a few thousand out. Well, Fox News said in 2 years, that inheritance was gone. Boy, that was a fun 2 years for a young girl. $61,000. I would say every day was a good day of that 2 years until the money ran out. It's kind of like the prodigal son. Can you imagine the prodigal son going to the father and saying, "Hey, I want my inheritance"? And it was probably a good size inheritance. That's the feeling I get. And I would say that prodigal son, boy, he had a good couple of months or years, whatever. I'd say he enjoyed himself. Every morning was a wonderful morning, getting up and having money to spend, doing whatever you want to do. And then all of a sudden, the inheritance was gone. And what's happened? He's down here eating with the pigs. The inheritance was gone. But listen what God's word says. He says in Hebrews 9 and 15, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance this morning. You know, we're going to be in heaven, and you're going to have an inheritance beyond anything that you can imagine. You're going to be richer than you can imagine. And you're going to go along through eternity enjoying that inheritance. And you're going to be richer than you can even imagine. You just can't imagine the inheritance that's waiting for you. And you know what's going to happen? You know, in 1,000 years in heaven, I'm going to say, boy, it's been great. I've got this inheritance, and it's been wonderful. I've been enjoying this inheritance. I better check. And I'll go back and after 1,000 years and check that inheritance. It'll be just as much as it was the first day I got there. And it's going to be the same for you. That inheritance, you'll enjoy it, but it'll never run out. It's going to be wonderful. No mood swings. Always walking on the mountaintops because you're right there with the Lord. And an inheritance that's beyond anything we can comprehend. And it's not going to run out. Because God inhabits eternity. How wonderful it is this morning. Not only that, but John 4 verse 54 says, and we use this a lot in the communion, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Eternal life. How wonderful that is. I was telling some of them, my mother, back in April, I may get the month wrong, but she fell and fractured her pelvis. She had been living at home, and my brothers and I were able to take care of her and keep her there and keep her pretty comfortable, and that's where she was happy, her home. Well, when she fell and fractured her pelvis, we put her in the hospital, of course, and then they transferred her to therapy, and then from that, she just couldn't get stable again, couldn't get mobile, so we had to put her in a nursing home. Let me tell you, my mother's not happy in the nursing home. I try to go every day and be with her, and she is not happy. Her mind's good. Her body, she's not sick, but she just can't get up. She can't stand up. Her legs and hips and stuff won't work. It's a job for me to get her over into the wheelchair after they put her in the chair from bed. I struggle to get her in the wheelchair without hurting her. And I'll get her in the wheelchair, and I try to do it as often as I can. And we'll just stroll down through the nursing home. And over here is one that's laying in bed just gasping for breath. I think, boy, they're not going to be here long. And I'll see two or three that we know, the mom's friends, and they don't know anything. Most of them just laying in bed looking up. Go on down, and some of them look so in such bad shape. And after we wheel down through the nursing home, and that's about the best I can do. Sometimes if it's warm, I'll take her outside. I don't want to get her sick. And I'll bring her back in, and we'll sit in the vestibule there and just sit down and talk. Mom says, I just want to go home. I want to get out of here. She said, there's nothing wrong with me. I said, Mom, you can't walk. You haven't got any girls. You just got boys. We can't take care of you. And I'm about the only one that can do anything now. My other brother had to go on dialysis. And I said, I wish it was better, Mom. I wish it was better, but I just can't do anything. And it is sad. It's sad to look at that situation and wish you could do better. And she knows that she's not going back home. She says, I know I can't go. She says, I just want to go bad, but I know I can't go. She knows the next step is death. And like Liz was talking about Jean, she's wanting to go. I want to go home. And, you know, it's just sad. It's depressing. It's one of the things that gets you down. You have to get yourself back up in the Lord. But I'm thankful the Word of God says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll tell you how wonderful it is to know that one day we're not going to worry about nursing homes. I'm not going to be pushing Mom in a wheelchair. I'm not going to go down the nursing hall and look in the rooms and see those people gasping for breath. I'm going to be in heaven, and you're going to be in heaven. We're not going to worry about death anymore. So can you imagine what God's telling us now because he inhabits eternity? First of all, no mood swings. You're going to be on the mountaintops every second of eternity. You're going to have an eternal inheritance. And we're never going to have to worry about death. You can enjoy it for eternity. Duration without limits. How wonderful it is this morning. It builds me up. It picks me up to think about it. How great thou art, our God. But just as wonderful as it is for us, think how horrible it is for those that are not accepting Jesus Christ or have rejected him. Eternal damnation. And I believe as they go through eternity, it progressively gets worse. God's word says in Mark 3:29, But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. I was watching a thing not too long ago. It was these prisoners in Vietnam. One man was in prison, or was a prisoner of war for 7 years. They put him in a box a lot of times during the day. Cramped, not enough water. Heat was unbearable. He said every day was eternity. Every day was eternity there in that prison camp that he was in. But then after 7 years, he got to go home. He got to go home and be with his loved ones. That's not eternity. Every day may have seemed like eternity, but can you imagine those people in eternal damnation? Eternity. God's word says it's eternal fire. In Jude 7, God's word says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire. I know I've used this example before, and you probably remember it. It's been over 40 years ago. I was in the Knoxville Hospital. We were down there visiting Carolyn and I. And as we were in the room, we heard this blood-curdling scream. It lifted the hair on the back of my neck. It was so shocking, and everybody came out of the room to see what it was. A nurse came up the hall, and she said, it's just a little boy. He's burnt. The doctors and the nurses are trying to change his bandages. I have never in my life heard a scream like that. That little boy trying to be helped. God's word says eternal fire. Can you imagine those people in eternal fire and nobody trying to help them, and how horrible that is going to be? Eternal fire for eternity. And I believe it progressively gets worse. Eternal punishment. Matthew 25 verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment. Again, we can't comprehend that. We can't get it in our mind. When you think about it, when you think about this world's a relatively young world. I know the evolutionists, they try to tell you, well, the dinosaurs have been extinct for seven million years, I believe they say. Something like that. But you know, if you look in Genesis, start with Adam, read the genealogy. Adam, and he begat so-and-so, and he died, and it gives the age, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and they died. You can see this world's only about 6,000 years old. It's a young world. Or to bring it on closer, I believe it was 1620 that the Mayflower came to America. The pilgrims got off the Mayflower. And can you imagine the conditions? There weren't any roads. There weren't any houses. There was nothing but jungle and a wilderness. And they beat out a little place and built them a little cabin. Probably didn't have any windows. Maybe just enough to keep them from the elements. Maybe a sod for a roof. Can you imagine? That's what? 1620, about 400 years ago. If I've got my numbers right. About 400 years ago, this place was a wilderness. Look at it now. Look at the interstates. Look at the houses. Look at the subdivisions. Look at the buildings in the big city. In 400 years, what have we done? You know, Carolyn, some time ago, got a watch that I see her go around the house talking on it, like Dick Tracy. And 400 years, we've come that far in just 400 years. Can you imagine being in heaven 400 years? Or as old as the earth is, the history of man, 6,000 years. Or as the song, 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 years. Can you imagine being in heaven 1,000,000 years? In 1,000,000 years, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to stretch and say, hey, 1,000,000 years. And I've got eternity to go. Those people in hell are going to say the same thing. After 1,000,000 years, I've got eternity to go. Everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. everlasting destruction, everlasting punishment. Again, we can't get it in our mind, but it's going to happen. So this word eternity ought to help us get things back in perspective. Help us get God back in the rightful place. You know, we want to bring God down to our level. God is not on our level. God is God. How great thou art, as the song tries to describe how great our God is. The high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God and only God inhabits eternity. In Isaiah 55 and 9 he says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." How great and unsearchable our God is. How great he is. And people try to bring him down to our level. They'll say the old man upstairs. How disrespectful to our God when we realize how great he is. And he inhabits eternity. You know, when everything seems to be out of control, and sometimes it does, it seems, and you know, preachers maybe, other preachers don't have any problems, but I do. You know, it seems like sometimes a family will get out of control. You know, with my mother, her situation, and I've told you about my older brother, and then my younger brother, his health's not doing as good, started on dialysis, and you know, sometimes it seems like things are just not able to get a hold of them or just falling apart. But I'm so thankful God's still in control. Amen. Our God is inhabiting eternity. You know, when you see a bolt of lightning go across the sky, they say sometimes there's as much as a trillion volts in that bolt of lightning. Now, I've got across 120 in my house a time or two, and it'll wake you up. But a trillion volts. I saw one time at my friend's house, it hit a tree, split the tree, dug a ditch, hit his concrete patio, and that thing exploded. That's what lightning can do. You know who has that lightning in his hand? Our God. You know, I've watched on television, and sometimes it kind of gets me watching the flooding. And the floods as it takes houses and just takes things in its path, and nothing can stop that. You better not even be close to it, or it's just going to engulf you and take you, and you'll drown. There's nothing that can stop that massive power. But that's in God's hands. God's in control. Some of those massive forest fires, and I can't imagine how scary that would be. Thousands of acres burning out in California. People running for their lives. And God is in control. You know, I just think about how great and how wonderful our God is. And God would look at us and make us an immortal, deathless being. I don't understand it, but I'm so thankful he's my God. You know, why not just make me like an insect, like an ant? Stomp him, he's dead, he goes into nothingness, and in a few days or a few years, he's forgotten. Why not just make us that way? Why not just make something that you can manipulate, and when it dies, Jay dies in 50 years, he has no soul, he's dead. In 100 years, nobody even knows who Jay was. He's forgotten. But God didn't do that. He looked down at us, and he loves us so much, and he said, "I'm going to make you a candidate for eternity. You're going to live forever. And all you have to do is decide where you want to live. By accepting my son, you can have eternal life. By rejecting my son, you're going to have eternal life, but it's not going to be what you want." Mark 8 and 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" We get caught up in all the things that we have to do. We feel like, well, you know, I've got to get this, I've got to do that. But we also need to realize, what is life? It's but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. You know, I remember some years ago, J.H. Hobson, if I got the initials right, J.H., I remember he just turned 70, and I said, "Boy, J.H., I'd love to be in the shape you're in at 70. Well, I'll be 71 in another month or so. How fast that goes. That was just like yesterday. Life is but a vapor. And so we ought to get these things in perspective. We're leaving 2019, entering into 2020. 2020 is nothing. Eternity is what we ought to be focused on. We get focused on, well, my job, I've got to get this job, I've got to do this job. And we get so focused on the job and the aggravation of job, or I can remember when I was in school 100 years ago, and I thought, man, I've got to pass this. I've got to get an education. And, you know, it's not that important. Really, our jobs, our houses, all these things, the pleasure we seek, it's not that important. It's just for a blink, an eye blink. But eternity, that's what we ought to be thinking about. Eternity this morning. And it's time to escape eternal wrath. Preparation for eternity. You know, seed time for harvest. We're all going to have a harvest. And right now, we ought to just be planting seeds and keep thinking about eternity. Boy, one day, I'm not going to have any mood swings. I'm going to always be on the mountaintop. One day, I'm going to have an inheritance beyond anything that I can comprehend that never runs out. And I never, ever have to worry about death. Not for myself, not for anyone I love or anyone I know. Death is not going to be there. None of the cruelty in all these things. God's word says in Ephesians 5:16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So that's the way we ought to be thinking this morning. Not in 2020, but eternity. "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity." I hope you made that decision this morning that you're going to be there in that wonderful place, not the other place, hell, but in heaven. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that you're our God this morning. We confess thy greatness. We can with all our hearts say, truly thou art God, and beside thee there is no God. Sometimes we're weak, sometimes we're faint, sometimes we even doubt, Father. But we know, God, that you love us. You love us so much, you've done so much for us. And we know that nothing can hurt us or harm us because you're in control. Only what you want to happen will happen. Just like, Father, this morning, being able to come here to this church, how wonderful you are. How great and unsearchable. Father, we thank you for these people. We thank you for this church. And we pray during this time now, in this invitation, if there's anyone that needs to come to know you as Lord and Savior, or any need whatsoever, maybe someone like Mildred is just troubled about their walk with you. Help them to come and be encouraged, Father, that one day they'll be like Mildred, walking on streets of gold, never ever doubting again. Whatever the need is, may you have your way in this invitation, for we pray in thy name. Let's all stand as Brother Gary gets us a song of invitation.
Page 649.
Anyone at all. Amen. And he needed all this morning. God's able. As we're entering 2020, who cares what's going to happen? God's still sitting on the throne. We're his sheep, and he's watching over us. And he's in control. How wonderful it is to know as we enter another year that it's no big deal, that our home's in heaven. And he needed all this morning. Won't you come as we sing one more verse, Brother Gary?
Verse 3.
Amen.
I'm just a pilgrim.
Amen. Brother Gary. Well, thanks again for letting me be with you this morning. I'll tell you, I would hug everybody's neck if I could. I'd get you all up and hug you if I could, but I'll speak to you in the back. I won't shake hands or anything because I certainly wouldn't want to mess your new year up and give you anything, but it's been so great to be with you. As a matter of fact, I got so excited to turn my water over. And I noticed I ran 15 past 12. I normally preach my messages over and over again, so I keep it down to about 10, 20, 30 minutes, something like that. But I didn't get a chance to this morning, but it's been great to be with you. We love you all, and we're always praying for you. Brother Ray, we'll get out of the way here.